We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome in the sports director from 96.7 The Zone in Madison, Zach Heilprin. Zach, how are you, man?
Doing great.
That's good. All right. Now that the dust has settled a little bit from Saturday, the question is, and I think it may be just a tick unfair to pile on to Hornibrook, but the questions that I'm getting here on and off the air is that why can't the Badgers find a, you know, I guess, an upper-tier quarterback? Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, we have to be fair about what the situation is and how it played out with Gary Anderson. The quarterbacks that he recruited were not the type of quarterbacks that were going to have a ton of success in Paul Chryst's system. So you missed out when you had DJ Gillens and you had Tanner McAvoy and you had Austin Kuffentis. They recruited a bunch of quarterbacks that weren't going to fit this system. So, I mean, if you look back to the last big time quarterback they got, it was Bart Houston. He was wanted by a lot of schools. He was a 4-star kid, and you know, Paul Chryst leaving kind of really, I think, impacted his development. I think they like Jack Cohn a lot, but they're forced to play a redshirt sophomore and even a redshirt freshman last year, you know, Hornibrook, because of the recruiting, quarterback recruiting by Gary Anderson and the way that they wanted to go with it. So I don't necessarily think it's on Paul Chryst, but you know, he's trying to make the best of the situation.
Sure.
And Alex Hornibrook, at least this year, was the best choice.
Sure, and you're closer to the situation obviously than I am, and closer than most are. Do you see a development situation for Alex Hornibrook as he moves along here? I mean, how big is the ceiling here?
Well, you know, I think everyone will point to his arm strength and whether it's good enough to be an elite quarterback. And I don't think it ever will be, and I don't think he'll ever be an elite quarterback. But that doesn't necessarily mean he can't have success at Wisconsin. I think he has shown flashes of what he can be. I thought the Michigan game after the interception, the horrible interception he had against Michigan, really bounced back and finished that game strong, was great against Minnesota. So we've seen flashes of it. I think the biggest thing is, you know, making it consistent. I don't know. I guess I don't know what his ceiling is as a player. Is he an NFL guy? I don't think so. But can he be a very good quarterback at Wisconsin? Can he be a very good college quarterback? Yes, I do. And I'm not sure if he'll get that opportunity. I think he's going to have a battle on his hands for the job come spring with Jack Cohn. And if he can beat him out, then that's great for Wisconsin, because I think they have a lot of they're excited about Jack Cohn. So if Alex Hornibrook is able to beat him out, then that's got to be good. That's good for Wisconsin. But a lot will be determined here in the next 5 or so months, and we see where Jack Cohn is compared to Alex Hornibrook and where they want to go in the future. But Alex, in my mind, can be a very good college quarterback, but he's never going to be elite.
I'm going to lean toward agreeing with that, because there have been signs that Hornibrook can get it done. I mean, you look at his clutch in the red zone has been good throughout the season, and if anything, you can point to that as a definite asset. I mean, you run between the 20s, you get pushed to a third and long. I trust him down there.
I mean, that interception he threw to Troy Fumagalli in the red zone in that on their second drive the other day, that was uncharacteristic. He had the highest passing efficiency rating in the red zone of any quarterback in the country coming in, and that was just a really poor decision. And I think that you know, that to me, decision making is really what I think affects him more than anything. Some of the throws he makes, those are just mistakes you can't, especially as you get more experience. And you know, he is, let's be fair, he did start a bunch of games as a redshirt freshman, so this is essentially his second year as the starter, but he still is only a sophomore. And I've talked with you know, a couple of guys that were, including John Stocko himself, about the jump that he made from his sophomore year as a starter. He was horrible in 2004, he admitted it. It was not very good. 2005, 2006, and those were the years that he got to work with Paul Chryst. He was very good as a Wisconsin quarterback, and they would take that in a second. So I think before we say Alex Hornibrook it cannot do the things that I think a lot of people, you know, the people that say he can't be good, let's just wait.
Yeah.
And give him a little bit more time. I'm not willing to sit here and give up on Alex Hornibrook at this point. I know there's a lot of people that are.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely do. I think there's some signs there. We're talking with Zach Heilprin, sports director of 96.7 The Zone in Madison. And just real quick before we move on to that Miami matchup, how were the players? Because that's something that I was curious about after the game. You know, these guys, super disappointed, yet they got to turn around and, you know, a little less than a month from now, they have to play another football game. That's got to be challenging.
It is, and they were saying all the right things, you know, in that interview room. And Joe was there, so, I mean, they know that they have another game. But there was certainly a lot of disappointment because a lot of those guys are seniors that we talked to, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and they know that they just missed their best opportunity to – and their last opportunity to win a Big Ten title, to go to the college football playoff. And those are all major, major things, especially 20 minutes after a game. I think they will be able to refocus. I think they will be able to, you know, zone in on Miami. But these are things that are not going to go away. And we do a podcast here in Madison called The Camp with Matt Bernstein. And he was part of the team in 2004 that had an opportunity to win a Big Ten title. They just had to beat Michigan State and Iowa. They lost both of those games, and he never won a Big Ten title. And while it's not something that keeps him up at night, it's certainly not something that goes away. And I think that is certainly going to be the case with these guys because of how close they were to something so special. But, again, as they proved last year, they can get past disappointment, and they went and played a pretty good game against Western Michigan in the Cotton Bowl and got that win. So there's evidence that they can do it, and we'll have to see if that will be the case again this year.
Zach, it's Joe. I was trying to think about this the other day. Was Austin Ramish the only senior that they brought into that interview room? Because I don't remember really any seniors being there, and I guess I could understand why, because it's hard for them to really take it, you know, considering another loss in a Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, you know, Troy Fumagalli was in there as well.
Yeah, Fum was in there. Yeah, okay, right.
And I think I want to say Garrett Dooley was in there as well, but I'm not positive. There weren't a lot, but that was more of a what UW does, and they don't really – what UW does is they ask who people want, and we were kind of on the other side of the press box, so we didn't get an opportunity to do that. So, you know, those were probably names selected by some other people on the other side of the press box and who came in and who didn't. But I'm sure it was I followed – Alec James and Connor Sheehy out, and as you know, they were walking towards the bus, and you could tell obviously it was a very tough moment that they were dealing with, and this is not something that's going to go away very easily. It leaves marks for sure. Mm-hmm.
Was that the biggest game in Badgers history?
Turned out not to be. If they had won, it would have been, right?
I mean, yeah, that's true.
You know, it's if they lose, no. If they win, yeah, it is. And then the next biggest game becomes the semifinal game.
For sure.
It was a huge, huge opportunity to not only win a Big Ten title and not only make the playoff, but to really potentially change the narrative, you know, make everyone that bashed them all year about their 12-0 schedule, make them, you know, eat crow to an extent, and then, you know, and have an opportunity to turn what is a very nice story about Wisconsin football, but I think a lot of people know about, but maybe they don't necessarily respect, into you beating a blue blood like Ohio State to go on and play on the biggest stage that college game has to offer, that, yeah, it was that's what it could have been. It ends up not being that way, and so I don't think anybody will think about, you know, we won't be talking about it 10 years from now thinking about that. That's the biggest game in Wisconsin football history, like it was, like they did with the Rose Bowl that they lost back in 63. Like, that was the greatest game ever in Wisconsin history, and it was a loss. I don't think that's going to be – I don't think that's the case.
All right, so against Miami here, what are we looking at? What are we looking for? How do you see that game shaking out?
Well, it's a home game for Miami, essentially, and that's their home stadium, obviously. So, I'm interested to see which Miami shows up. They've been fantastic at home. They routed Notre Dame down there. They beat Virginia Tech down there. So I think that may be the biggest story for Miami. On the Wisconsin side of things, how do they bounce back? We talked about it a little bit. How do you bounce back? How do you refocus? You know, first of all, I think Jonathan Taylor, you know, getting a month off will be very beneficial to him. I don't think we saw the same explosiveness, same ability to break tackles that we saw earlier in the year down the stretch for him. So I'm anxious to see him back closer to 100%. But really, it's just whether Wisconsin refocuses, gets in there, and has an opportunity to win the Orange Bowl, a bowl of a game that they've been, this is the first time they're ever going to be there. So that'll be a story. And then also, you know, outside of the game, what do some of these juniors decide to do, whether it's Nick Nelson or TJ Edwards or Michael Dieter? Do those guys, you know, that's going to be a lot of the questions this, you know, the next month is, are they going to stay or are they going to go? And that's the other thing I'll be watching.
Hey, Zach, I got one question about the defensive line, because there's so many seniors there. Is the defensive line in good hands going into next year? Because, I mean, they're going to – I know Loudermilk will be a part of that. Sagapolo will be there. But is that defensive line going to be okay?
We don't know any younger guys, right? I mean, so you mentioned Sagapolo. You mentioned Isaiah Loudermilk. Garrett Rand is certainly going to be a part of that as well. Those three guys, I think that's your starters. I think they move probably Rand back to defensive end and play him there. He didn't play a ton of defensive end this year. They kind of moved him at, was the backup at nose guard. But they need some of the younger guys to step up. They need some of the younger guys that we don't know about. And we'll get to meet them, and we'll get to know them here in the next, you know, for bowl practices and then a spring ball. But that's a concern. Again, it's possible that they're going to have to replace eight starters on defense if TJ Edwards and Nick Nelson decide to go. And so those are significant questions. And the defensive line is key among them, because that has allowed, in my opinion, the linebackers are very good, but the defensive line has allowed them to play almost as free as possible up until this last game. Keeping guys off of them and letting them roam and make plays. And so that's a key thing. I think they're good with starting. They need depth there, and that'll be what we'll be watching for in bowl practices as well as next spring.
Good enough. We appreciate it, Zach, and I'm sure you'll be on again, if not with me, certainly with Bill. And thanks for the time, all right?
All right, guys, thank you.
All right, there he is, Zach Heilprin, the sports director at 96.7 The Zone in Madison, here on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.